Well, good morning. We have a small crowd here today. But I think today's message, I hope will you'll find interesting and important, as I did, going through it and writing it and studying. Because the gospel of Christ is a very important message. And so think about this. Every soul, every person here on earth, we all have an eternity to spend. And we'll either have an eternity to spend in heaven or an eternity to spend in hell. And just think about that. Really think about it. I like to ask people this question. Where will you spend an eternity? Look into the gospel. Find out what eternity means. Find out who the true Savior is, and find out who the true Savior of the universe is. Find out who has the power to save. This is an important message, and I always tell people I talk to, and Jim used to tell me all the time, you may want to check into it, because it's only the most important thing that you'll ever hear about. And it is. It's the most important thing you could ever hear about. So the title of today's message is An Eternity in Christ. Scripture will come from Isaiah 46:10. So please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 46, verse 10. It says, declaring the end from the beginning. The end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. The beginning to the end, that's an eternity. Let me tell you this. And this is one of the greatest false teachings being taught in mainstream religion today. It's the teaching that Christ's death, his blood sacrifice, is only one of many ways that God uses to save sinners. Now that is a great error, that Jesus Christ and redemption through his perfect obedience and through his precious blood is only one of many ways that God has used to save sinners. But that's what's being taught, and it's always been taught. That's nothing new. Just to set the record straight, the scriptures plainly state that Jesus Christ has been and will always be the only way a sinner can ever be justified in the sight of God. It doesn't matter whether a person lived in the days of the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, in the days of the New Testament, or if the sinner lives right now in our time. Since Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, there's only been one way, and that's only through Christ. And it doesn't matter if it's Jew or Gentile. The only way to eternal salvation is through Christ, period. In John 14:6, Christ said, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen to what Christ just said. He said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, no man comes to the Father except by him. He doesn't say you can come to the Father by your works, by being baptized, your good deeds, keeping the law, giving your money, or abiding by the law. He clearly states that he is the only way to God the Father. Acts 4:12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Through Christ is the only way. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 8:56, Christ said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. We can go all the way back to Abraham and say that he saw the day of Christ and found his joy in redemption through Jesus Christ, not through the law, not through his good works, but through Christ. In John 5:46, Christ said, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." Christ said that Moses wrote of him before he came here. Moses knew Christ was the only way to God the Father. In 1 John 5:11-12, John wrote, "And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life." In Isaiah 53:3-5, it says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid it, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Now, a lot of people will teach, and this is the way that it's, the error is taught, and this is the way it's being taught today, is that, like I said earlier, that Christ and his blood is only one of many ways that sinners are saved. And this is kind of the way it's taught. God created man in his own image, and he wanted nothing more than for those sinners to be saved. And that was God's intention, and that was his original design. That's what they say. They say that he created man, and he hoped nothing more than to have fellowship with man. Well, man fell. So God began to seek another way to save him. So in other words, a lot of people, what they're saying is that the fall of Adam slipped up on God. It surprised God. So then God had to start his search for a Savior, find another way. So he tried this. He sent his prophets into the world, hoping that people would hear the prophets and turn back into fellowship with God. But they wouldn't hear the prophets, and they wouldn't listen to the prophets. So that failed. Then God, out of desperation, gave the law of Moses to man. He gave us the Ten Commandments. So people say that God gave man the law with the hope that it would restore man into fellowship with him if he kept the law perfectly. Well, we know what happened there. It didn't work. Man can't keep the law. So God said, since people wouldn't listen to the prophets or keep the law, he said, "I'll send my son." So then he sent his son down here, and that failed because people rejected his son, and they nailed him to a cross and killed him. This kind of teaching is an insult to God Almighty. It's an insult to his wisdom, to his holiness, his power. It's an insult to his majesty, and an insult to every attribute of God. This kind of teaching denies the Holy Scripture. God the Father is an eternal God. He has infinite wisdom. He is all-wise and unchangeable. He is the immutable, unchangeable, infinite God. He does absolutely nothing in time, nothing that he did not decree and purpose and plan from all eternity. And you can write that down. God does not change. He does not change his mind. He does not change his purpose, and he does not change his ways. Listen to Acts 15:18. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." This was not an afterthought. Jesus Christ was no emergency plan to save the world. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Christ was the plan the whole time. The Old Testament scriptures told of the coming of Christ. Listen to Isaiah 46:10. It says, "Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." the end from the beginning. That's in eternity. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We were not chosen in the prophets, not chosen in the law, but chosen in Christ. Moses was a prophet. He was recognized as a prophet of God. He told people about Christ, and he wrote of Christ. But Moses never claimed to be the Savior. He claimed to be a preacher of the gospel. The law wasn't given to save. The scripture plainly says in Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. God never intended to redeem us through the law. You can't redeem lost sinners by obedience to the law. The reason is because we cannot possibly keep the law. There's only one gospel. Galatians 1:9, Paul says, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. There is one gospel. There has never been but one gospel. There will never be but one gospel. And that gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Listen to Romans 1. Verses 1 through 3. Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. The gospel of Christ, his substitutionary work, his death, and his obedience is the very gospel that God first revealed to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3:15, God said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Then the gospel of substitution through Christ is the gospel that God showed to Adam and Eve. There they stood after they had fallen, naked. They gathered fig leaves to make them an apron to cover themselves. They were afraid. They were ashamed. They were convicted of their guilt. They tried to cover themselves. It wasn't good enough. So an innocent lamb was slain and shed its blood and took the skin of that animal and covered Adam and Eve. God is saying right there, this is the way that sins and guilt are covered, by death, by the shedding of blood, by the sacrifice of the innocent lamb to cover the guilty, and that is Christ. This is the same gospel that Abel believed. This is why he brought a blood sacrifice. Abel brought a lamb and slew that lamb and put its blood on an altar. God accepted his offering because it was a picture of Christ. It was a picture of a coming of Christ. He knew that only the blood of a spotless lamb could atone for sins. He knew that Christ was coming to make the final payment for sins with his blood, with his sacrifice. And then you had Cain. Cain refused it, offered the works of his hands, and God did not accept his offering because it was by the works of his hands. Only the blood of a spotless lamb will be accepted by God. Christ was the plan from the beginning. He was predestinated by God the Father to come and die on that cross for the payment of sins for whom he represented ever since the foundation of the world in eternity. In Luke 24, verses 44 through 47, Christ said, now these are the words of Christ, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. By nature, we reject God's way, and we go our own way. By nature, we try to make up our own Savior. It's a Savior of our imagination. Naturally, by our human nature, we try to make God into something he's not. We try to figure out a way to work and save ourselves. That's a God of our imagination. The Bible clearly teaches of the true and living God. And from the foundation of the world in eternity past, when God was making everything and planning everything, he had this perfect person coming the whole time. It was sure and certain. So many people look to the cross for their salvation. My friends, look to Christ. Look to the one who hung on that cross. Jesus is the Savior. Worship him. The saving power is in the blood of that perfect one. People now worship so many things in the name of religion, but they're missing the target. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. And don't get me wrong, Mary was a wonderful person, but she should not be worshipped. People try to be saved by their water baptism. There's no saving power in water baptism. We take the Lord's Supper, but there's no saving power in the Lord's Supper. The only saving power is in the blood of Christ. Do not be confused. There is one righteousness, and it's nothing we can do to work for it. It's the righteousness of Christ. And the Christ who said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." This is an eternal statement from Christ. He just said that all that the Father gives him, they will come to him, and he will never cast them out of his eternal kingdom. Never. And that's in eternity. Listen, Christ was here on earth, and this is what they did to him. They spit in his face, and they said, "Nail him to the cross." But there is good news here. Christ is on a throne. In Hebrews 10:11-13, it says, "And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over, which can never take away sins." It's talking about the works of a sinner's hands. They can never take away sins. But here's the good news. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." All we can do is be thankful for that blood sacrifice. Follow Christ and him alone for salvation. Be thankful that Christ came into this world to establish a righteousness that we could never produce. This is an eternal and everlasting righteousness. Be thankful that he died on that cross, that he paid the sin debt permanently owed for the sins of his sheep. Because without Christ the Lord, we'd spend an eternity in separation as lost sinners. In conclusion, think about it. Eternity. That's honestly a term or time stamp that we cannot fathom. If you start thinking about it, it will blow your mind. We cannot imagine what eternity is. Only God knows eternity. But as we read through Scripture, we'll hear terms like eternity, before the foundation of the world, eternal life. Those are all real terms in Scripture. You can't look at a specific time, a specific date when you were saved. It was all in the eternal mind of God. It was done in eternity. Sure and certain. Salvation of God's sheep was established at the foundation of the world in the eternal covenant of grace. God's children were saved according to God's plan and according to His purpose, not at a time when a sinner chooses to save themselves. If you believe that a sinner makes the decision for Christ, then that's work salvation. It's Christ that does the saving. Grace is a work that's done by God. It's only done by God. If the sinner makes the first move, then it's not grace. Listen to what I'm saying. This is the most important thing you will ever hear. Everything else has an expiration date. All of your money, all of your hobbies, your job, everything, it will all expire. All earthly possessions have an expiration date. Once you die, all of that stuff is either passed on, lost, eliminated, or whatever. And I know you can't just foolishly throw everything away, but what I'm trying to get you to see is the importance of this message, this eternal message, because this is an everlasting message, and we all have an eternity to spend somewhere. Amen.